Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
All right, folks. Before I get started here on this episode of the White Trash Revival, I have something to say. And many of you are probably already aware of this and what's going on. July 9th, Uriah Baker, which goes by the name of Baby Genius of the Goddamn Gallows, and Quentin Price were accused of sexual assault. They are now in jail in New Haven, Connecticut, and they need our help, folks. And recently, I spoke with Mikey Classic of the Goddamn Gallows, and this is what he had to say.
All right, folks, with me on the phone, I have Mikey Classic from the Goddamn Gallows. How you doing, Mikey?
Hey, Donnie, how's it going?
All right. So, tell me what's going on, man.
Well, hey, we were playing a gig in New Haven last Thursday. Greg went good. We went to a friend's house where we were staying at night. He was having a little after party, and a girl shows up there that was at the show uninvited and proceeds being overly flirtatious with a bunch of people at the party. She ends up taking our drummer and the merch guy into the bathroom. Our drummer was only in there for about 5 minutes. Merch guy was in there a little bit longer. He takes shower with her, and a few other people came in to the bathroom. There's two people showering in here. Proceeded to take a piss or whatever. And she came out. They hung out at the party afterwards. She ended up losing her camera, and she's freaking out, wondering where her camera is. She's being crazy. The homeowner tells her to get out of the house. Getting it late. And next morning, the police show up. And our drummer and our merch guy Quentin, Baby Genius and Quentin, they locked him up. We didn't know what was going on. They wouldn't tell us. And now they have a $3,000 bail. We're trying to put money for his legal defenses because these accusations are completely false. We've seen other witnesses that confirm that yes, it is false. And once this goes to trial, we're going to get these boys off. So basically, if you want to help out Baby Genius and Quentin for being wrongfully imprisoned, you can go to our MySpace page at the Goddamn Gallows or contact Farmageddon Records. We're putting together a compilation CD with a bunch of amazing bands and friends of ours. And all the proceeds are going to Free Babies, Genius, and Quentin Legal Defense Fund. That's about it, brother.
Has anybody talked to them boys since they've been locked up?
Well, we can't get a hold of them, really. They have to put you on a list to even talk to us, so we can't even go visit.
So how's the shows going now without them?
Well, we're still trudging on Welshboro player Avery. He's an awesome drummer, and so he's picking up the drums in Baby Genius's place. But we're just waiting for him to get out and have these charges dropped and get back on the road playing shows. And we'd like to thank everybody out there who's already contributed. We've got so many great fans and friends out there. It's amazing, and it's great to see everybody come together to try to get these boys out. Hell yeah, man. We'll get them.
All right, y'all, so there it is. Let's get these boys out of jail. Let's donate. Let's buy this compilation CD that is called Y'all Motherfuckers Need Justice. And you can get this CD at Farmageddon Records. And the website is www.newrootsorder.com. Go up there, pick up a copy. This all goes to the defense fund for Uriah Baker and Quentin Price. Let's free these innocent gentlemen, shall we?
Program is rated TV-MA-LSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, violence, and nudity. It is intended only for mature audiences. Viewer discretion advised.
Well, I've been down in that dark cellar so many times I never been. Stairs and onions, Lord, please. Seven, eight, they go down there. I was scared to death, I swear, because I knew I'd have to face that cellar beast. Downstairs in the dark. Hey!
Yeah, this is Wilford Brimley. And when I ain't taking medication for my diabetes, I'm listening to White Trash Revival with Donnie fucking Cash. Yeah.
How do, motherfuckers? How do, I say? This is the White Trash Revival, episode 53, and I'm your host, Donnie fucking Cash. Got a good show lined up for yens. Got an interview with Caleb Clowder. Some of you might know Caleb from the Foghorn String Band. And we're going to listen to a couple tunes off of his new CD, Western Country. And we're going to interview him. So I hope you kind-hearted motherfuckers stick around and listen to that. And we started off the show with Uncle Daddy and the Kissin' Cousins with a song called Cellar Beast. And let me say this, I have a sponsor for the show. Yes, I do. And the sponsor is East Atlanta Tattoo. First in the village, first in quality. So any of you folks in the Atlanta region, check them out. And see Dirk Hayes, Gentleman Tattooist. And you can find them good folks at 1188 C Glenwood Avenue Southeast. Give them a call at 404-622-5688. Or visit them at www.eastatlantatattoo.com. Hell yeah! Well, should we get in the first set, or should I tell you about my 4th of July? I'll tell you about my 4th of July before we get in this first set right quick. As some of you know from last week, I went to Tennessee. Went to the Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg area. And had a real good time. Spent a shitload of fucking money. And to get gas on the way back, I had to blow a trucker. Now let me tell you this, it's not my first time blowing a trucker, but, you know, them days are over. But, shit happens. Anyway, we stayed at this fucking, big-ass timeshare resort type thing, and we were supposed to go through the spiel and all that, but, you know, I didn't. Anyways, what I'm coming to is, you know, all the cleaning people at these hotels, timeshares, resorts, whatever, are fucking Mexicans. Now, goddammit, how's an honest, single mother that has a meth addiction supposed to have a job? You know, these Mexicans are putting them meth mamas out of business. And that, my friends, is bullshit. How's a motherfucking bitch supposed to make an honest living to do her meth and get her kids taken away from her, you know? She's going to have to go out and prostitute. And, well, goddammit, I'm totally against that. Not. Here's the first set.
$0.30 for a ring of keys, $3.65 for a dollar bill of groceries. I'll have me a car of my own someday. Till then, I need me a ride. My uncle used to love me, but she died.
My uncle used to love me, but she died. Chicken ain't chicken a cup of coffee, lettuce and tomato. Two times a damn sea man kiss an alligator. Well, one more time around, free on the Ferris wheel ride. My uncle used to love me, but you died.
I heard about a hugging and I heard about a kissing. I read about a freeing a 50 Cent illustrated guy. My uncle used to love me, but he died.
Is obviously a psychotic.
Well, I'd like to hold off judgment on a thing like that, sir, until all the facts are in.
I go home and I turn on. There's a new drug in Babylon, and I'm barely fed and barely sane. But this cocaine takes away the pain. And off the glass it goes right into my brain. Now I got no reason to complain, because everything is burning up around me. And life is so far from reality, but I'm feeling fine. Feels like everything is alright. Feels like everything is alright. I saw her take the train back home after wandering around in Soho. So I took the subway to my baby's crib while my anxiety was filling to the brim. When I got there, much to my surprise, I found my baby with a mirror and a light. Now she's feeling fine. Everything's alright, but it's all going down the tubes. It's all going down the tubes. Feels like everything's alright. Feels like everything's alright, but it's all going down the tubes.
by, and the world keeps turning, the sun burns bright, we keep destroying and it feels alright, but no, everything's not alright.
As a physician, you of all people should appreciate the dangers of reopening old wounds.
Well, I'll tell you the story about a burglar man that went to rob a house. He crept in through the window as quietly as a mouse, thinking of the money that he would steal under the bed he lay. Saw a sight that night that made his hair turn gray. About 9 o'clock an old maid come in, I'm so tired, she said, thinking everything's gonna be alright, she forgot to look under the bed. Well, she took out her teeth and a big glass eye, and the hair came off of her head. This burglar man had 19 fits as he crawled from under the bed. Well, she pulled a pistol from the drawer and to this burglar man said, young man, if you won't marry me, I'll blow off the top of your head. Well, he looked at her teeth and a big glass eye, and he had no place for to scoot. So he turned to the old woman standing by, said, a woman, for the Lord's sake, shoot. Well, this burglar man is dead, I guess, but I don't know where he's gone. Up above or down below, I'm now through singing this song.
All right, friends, we started off this set with the Sweetback Sisters, and the song was called My Uncle Used to Love Me, But She Died. How confusing is that? You know, I had an uncle that, come to find out, was really my aunt, and she did hard time in a women's prison, and she looked so much like a man that she was known as my uncle. Yeah, my Uncle Donna. I should have known something was up with a name like that. We followed that with Darren Deicide with the Cocaine Song. You know, I love all songs like I love cocaine, so, you know, all songs about cocaine I love because I love cocaine. And we ended the set with Blue Valley Boys with a song called Burglar Moon. Now, the Blue Valley Boys is the band that I seen when I was in Tennessee last week over in Pigeon Forge, and I stopped at the Ernest Tubb record shop, and they were playing on the gazebo out front,
and I purchased one of their CDs, real good bluegrass band. And I was a little kid in a candy store in that record shop. It was fucking awesome. Well, like I said earlier in the show, we got an interview with Caleb Clowder. Now, next week on the show, I will have none other than Josephus from Josephus and the George Jonestown Massacre. That's a real good fella, and I'm pleased to have him on. Well, looks like I'm going to have to take a break from drinking, folks. Yeah, I know, I'm a pussy. But I got a letter in the mail today from an attorney. So I opened up and read it, and it seems that my liver wants me to quit drinking. Well, first I laughed, and I called the lawyer and said, "Tell my liver to fuck off." And he said, "Well, I think you might want to wait before you say that, Mr. Johnson. Please come down to my offices, and we'll discuss things." So I go down to the offices, and he gives me an envelope, and I open up and look in it, and it's pictures of me at a bachelor party. And there was pictures of me with strippers. Now, I know what you guys are thinking. Who cares if you got pictures of you with strippers? Well, the thing is, you know, maybe one day I want to run for Congress, and if these things circulate, I'm fucked. Because the strippers that we get are pretty much how we like our beer. Bottom shelf and cheap. You know, we get our strippers at scratch and dent stripper outlets. You know, one of them might be missing a leg, one of them might be in their 50s. You know, one of them probably even has a prison record. But anyways, there was a picture of me doing a beer bong out of one of the strippers' assholes. Yes, I know. But, you know, when I party, I like to get wild and fuck things up. You know what I'm saying? And then there's another one of me doing trach shots. You know how some of you motherfuckers do body shots? You do the shit out of the broad's belly button. Well, I was doing trach shots. I was doing shots of tequila out of her trach hole in her throat. She had a little bit of sea salt sprinkled around her nipples, so I sucked the sea salt off that. And then she had a lemon wedged in between her butt cheeks. So, yeah, that's what kind of pictures there were. And my lawyer, or my liver, wants to play rough, so I'll give him what he wants. I'll take a break on drinking. But let me tell you something, liver. When it's time for me to drink again, your ass is fucked. I'm going to stick it in you like Papaw used to stick it in me when I was a young boy. Dry and damn violent. You'll be saying, "Spit on it, Papaw." So fuck you. Oh, and by the way, here's the next set.
I was been a restless, rambling man. Never stayed long in any town. Never could hold a good job down. This rambling man, I was his mama's favorite son. I never did anything that she wanted done. I turned 18 and away I run. I was his mama's favorite son. Could have been a soldier, could have been a priest, could have been a doctor, could have been a thief, but I'm
this guitar on my back, running down the wrong side of the track. I was on the wrong side of the law. I never did see things the way they saw.
It's going to go on and on until you face up to your responsibilities.
What responsibilities?
I'm pregnant. I'm going to have our child.
one-shot thing we got going on here.
There's nobody's business but ours.
You know I ain't queer.
Me neither.
Call the cops. Call your mom. Call your friends. Call them all. Tell them I'm done trying to make you smile. Say I'm sorry. So sad, but sometimes the good turns bad. By a short while, it will all turn back around. So light up a match tonight. Draw yourself a bath, wash yourself of the past, and be sure that I will do the same.
Okay. All right, fuckers. We started off this set with the song Restless Ramblin' Man. And that was by Mark Stewart and the Bastard Sons. And if I'm not mistaken, they used to go by Bastard Sons of Johnny Cash. Now, I myself like Bastard Sons of Johnny Cash better. Yes, I did. And following that was Planet Zydeco with Lying, Crying, and Trying. A little something new for you folks, some Zydeco. Makes me feel like I'm on Bourbon Street having a good time. We ended a set with Whitney Mann with a song called Call the Cops. Now, I remember one time I called the cops on my old lady. It's been many years ago when we were getting separated and she popped me in the mouth and had me bleeding. Well, I called the cops, and I was just wanting to get her out of the house. I didn't want no one arrested or nothing. Well, needless to say, the cops damn near whooped my ass and arrested me. And I'm the one with the bloody lip and marks on me. Ain't that some bullshit? Fuck yeah, it is. All right, let's go ahead
and we're going to get into a song by Bloodshot Bill. And then on the other end of this song, we will have Caleb Clowder on air for the interview. So here's some Bloodshot Bill, motherfuckers. Enjoy. On the phone, I got Caleb Clowder. How you doing, Caleb?
I'm doing great. Sitting on the back porch. Fun.
All right. Let's introduce yourself to my listeners. Tell everyone about yourself, where you're from.
I live out here in Portland, Oregon, and I've been out here about 15, 16 years playing music. And I'm from originally from Washington State up in the San Juan Islands. There's an island called Orcas Island. Grew up up there on the island and moved down here in Oregon for college, and been here for a while.
All right, and how long you been doing country music, Caleb?
I've been singing. I've been playing, traditional old time and some country music for, I'd say, 20 years. But not really. I haven't put out a country record like this last one until 2 years ago. So it just took me a while to kind of make my own record, you know. I've been playing in a Foghorn String Band and some other old-time string bands for a long time, and I think that's where a lot of it comes from.
Now, the Foghorn String Band, is that more bluegrass or what?
The Foghorn String Band is even kind of the stuff we play in that band is sort of pre-bluegrass. It's more fiddle-driven, square dance music, mountain music, stuff from the Appalachians and stuff from the Midwest, and then a lot of old songs, stuff from the Carter family.
Okay.
So, kind of has that pre-bluegrass sound, that string band sound.
All right.
Now, the CD that I got from you guys in the mail was Dangerous Me's and Poisonous You's.
Yeah.
And when I first heard it, I thought you was probably a 60 or 70-year-old guy because you sound like somebody that was very seasoned in this style of music. I mean, how the heck's a guy of your age get so good at doing what you do?
That's a hard question to answer there. I don't know. I think mostly playing with the string bands I play with, when the way you play and sing, or the way I play and sing in those bands is real, real loud and strong. You're in a string band, and a lot of times we don't have a PA because we're playing, we use one microphone, it's a real sort of belting vocal style. I think that's probably not been the best style of singing for your voice. Probably changes your voice a little bit. This might be part of it. But also just coming from that real driving fiddle style, that style of music is, I think, pretty heavy in that CD, Dangerous Me's and Poisonous You's. And we play a lot. We travel all over the place, all over the world. And so, playing a lot, I think, older than I am. You're not the first one to say that. So,
well, speaking of influences, right quick, who are some of your influences?
A really wide range, you know. I mean, it's, in general, as far as music goes, like I'm really into singers, and so there's anyone from, you know, Bob Marley, you know, which is way out there, but he's an incredible singer, to someone like, you know, Marvin Gaye, all the way to, like, you know, Ralph Stanley or Carter Stanley. And then everyone in between, there's you know, Bill Monroe was actually a great singer and sang all that bluegrass. And then in country music specifically, you know, you can't forget George Jones, of course, and people like Ray Price. But I think, you know, to be honest, what made me want to make that record, and what really, I mean, I wanted to make it for a long time, but what really sort of sealed it for me was I was actually out in Indiana at the Indiana Fiddlers Gathering in Lafayette, Indiana, and I met a woman named Hazel Zetti. I mentioned on the liner notes of that record, she's got to be 75 years old, and she and I connected on some other level, and we just kind of started becoming friends, and so I started going back to visit her, and she started teaching me some songs, and she had a style of singing that was just, it had a bluegrass, it had an old-time mountain style, but yet she was singing all these country songs. And it sort of changed my perspective on country songs, because she took them and put them in a little bit of a, more of a bluegrass kind of old-time band sound, if you will. And I was really familiar with that already, and it had a similar singing style that she did. And she just, so she sort of kind of upped the ante a little bit, you know? And I learned, like, songs like Rockin' Ears, I learned from her. And, you know, it's a Dolly Parton song from the 80s. And I would have never thought that when she sang it to me, because the way she delivered it. And so, you know, really, a lot of my singing style for the country music almost comes directly from her, with a bunch of my other history, you know, involved in there, put in there.
Okay. Now, I didn't know that song was made by Dolly Parton, because, like, when you've done that song, you've totally, totally made it your song, and it's an awesome song.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I just connected with it right away, and I did change it some. It's got the same basic chord progression and most of the words. I changed the some of the lines so that it was all from the man's perspective rather than a duet, which is what it was with Dolly and Ricky Van Shelton. But, and I, you know, I sort of changed maybe the melody in the fiddle breaks, because I really liked that double fiddle sound, which is, you know, classic stuff from, like, early Ray Price, you know, Hank Snow, and, you know, that double fiddle sound, which even within bluegrass music is such a wonderful sound. I love it. So we try to use that in there. And just kind of incorporating little different things that I love about old music and sort of what I consider to be real rooted music, it's dance-oriented music.
Mm-hmm.
And I play in a string band. So, you know, that's my main gig, of the Foghorn String Band. And
right.
We play dance music, you know, primarily. And we will sing nice ballads and songs, but we like to get people dancing. And that's kind of my, and that's still my main, you know, hope, is that, you know, when we play a show in the country band and people are dancing, not sitting and looking at us, you know. You know?
All right, well, how about we, since we brought this song up, let's go ahead and play it now.
Okay.
All right.
I'll do everything I can to make you proud that I'm your man. I'll fulfill all your fantasies. I guess we're promising a lot, but for now, that's all we've got. I'll stand by you. Rocking chairs, rocking babies, rock-a-bye, rock of ages, side by side, we'll be together always. And if you hold me tight when you love me, that's all I'll ask of you. I'll stand by you through these rocking years. Thank you.
your friend, I'll be your lover. Until the end, there'll be no other. And my heart has only room for one. And if you always love me, yes, I'll always be there for you. I'll stand by you through these rocking years. Rocking chairs, rocking babies, rock-a-bye, rock of ages. Side by side, we'll be together always. And if you hold me tight when you love me, that's all I ask of you. I'll stand by you through these rocking years. Chairs, rocking babies, rock-a-bye, rock of ages. Side by side, we'll be together always. And if you hold me tight when you love me, that's all I'll ask of you. I'll stand by you through these rocking years. Yes, I'll stand by you.
All right, we're back. Well, Caleb, tell me about your CD you got out right now.
Well, the one you got down there, Dangerous Music and Poisonous Youth, are you talking about that?
Yeah, that one. That one's a great CD, might I add. It, you know, that CD right there is probably on my top 10 favorites of any artist, any genre.
Oh. Thank you. That's a lot. That means a lot.
I remember when I first heard it, I sent you a message on MySpace, but I think it was Tor, and I told you how that CD totally took my fucking breath away. You know, not many CDs can do that, but that one did.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I appreciate that. I really do. You know, the only thing I can say is that we had a great time making that CD. And the way I approached it, making that CD, was... I had a bunch of songs ready to go. Some of them were original, some of them were stuff I just loved singing. And I knew some good musicians that I didn't play with a lot. And I basically just called them into the studio. I didn't give them much rehearsal time at all. I think we got together once. So, I called up some friends who I don't play with much, and I hadn't played with much at that point. People I knew were just good, solid musicians, and I got some what I thought were simple, straight-ahead songs, and we went into the studio, and we recorded live. So that stuff was recorded live in the studio, you know, two takes, three takes, and we took the best one. And someone who made it really key, well, all the players made it key to be a good recording, but we got Betsy Ellis, who's a fiddle player from a band called The Wilders. They're
I've
from
heard
Kansas
of
City, Missouri. If you don't know The Wilders, you got to check out The Wilders.
I think I've heard of them.
Phenomenal band and great show, great live show especially. So Betsy's a guest fiddler there, and as well as the other fiddlers, Steve and Sammy Lind. He and I both play in the Foghorn String Band. So he and I had a long, you know, long reputation of just playing together, a long history of playing together. And the rest of the musicians were just guys who I knew could just nail stuff. And we went in there, we just had a good time, and we just played these songs. And didn't try to make anything special or rocket science out of it. We just played our hearts out, all of us. We sang, and there's stuff on there that I wish I could do again, but you do it live, you can't change it. So we just we went for the best one we could find, the best track we could take, and I just felt lucky I was in the studio with those guys that could do that. And I think that's maybe part of the reason why it comes out the way it does. It was just a fun experience.
Right.
You know, all the way around.
Now, you were saying Dangerous Me's and Poisonous You's is kind of an older CD. You got another one coming out, correct?
Yeah, I have a brand new one coming out on, within a month here. We're just I'm waiting to get it. I'm actually going to have a CD release party in town in Portland this Thursday, the 1st of July. That's just sort of a local special CD release party before we go out on tour. And the new one's going to be called Western Country. Just sort of a tribute to home out here and just the fact that I think we play music a little bit differently than like Nashville country or
right.
country western. And, you know, it's kind of honky-tonk and it's kind of country and it's kind of, you know, rock and roll a little bit, but it's not really any one of those specifically. So I call it Western Country. Plus, Western Country is actually an old fiddle tune. So I kind of like that because I play a lot of old-time music. And I felt that was kind of significant.
How is this one different to Dangerous Meets Poison Shoes?
In a lot of ways, it's really similar in a lot of ways. The difference is I play quite a bit more mandolin with the country music. Like, on the last one, I played mandolin on one track, I think, and it was just guitar and mandolin. Sort of a more old-timey sound. Whereas on this one, I'm playing mandolin with the full band and using that as a, like, replacing a fiddle, for example. And I just found over the last couple of years playing with the band, the electric instruments and the mandolin, it really worked really well. And we did it all again. We did it all live again in the studio. So it's like got that same raw feel. We have a couple extra guests singing and a different fiddler. So it's very similar in a lot of ways. Just you know, more mandolin and some more female vocals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So kind of the same mix. I've got a couple of my original songs and I've got a couple of my favorite old country songs.
Right.
Stuff from the Lubin Brothers, an old song from Porter Wagoner, and some kind of obscure stuff that comes from Jimmy Martin, who's a bluegrass guy. You know Jimmy Martin. Jimmy Martin's kind of his quintessential bluegrass music to me was country music, but he was still playing bluegrass, but it was country music.
Right.
There's that really cool fine line where it all kind of blends together. I love that. I love that music. And so we just, you know, we have drums and we have steel guitar, whereas Jimmy Martin wouldn't have had drums or steel guitar. He had drums on maybe two tracks in his whole career. And but they're all great country songs, all the same. So when I write songs, I try and write songs in that same way. They could be a bluegrass song, they could be a country song, they could be a duet, and they work well, you know?
Yeah.
In different genres.
So let me ask you this. How is the country/bluegrass scene up there where you're from?
In Portland, it's great. You know, there's not as much on the country side of things as far as the community goes, but the old time and the bluegrass music scene up here is a great community for it. Like, we've got a Portland old time gathering. It's 11 years old now, and it's a huge gathering. It happens in the wintertime, and there's a bunch of people playing. There's all kinds of picking parties left and right. The country scene is getting a little more happening. I've been trying to, with this band that I have, trying to get more dances going where people are coming out and planning on dancing all evening, couple dancing, you know, and like getting it, but having it be a fun thing, because I think it's got a connotation that, you know, country music has got a bad connotation, that it's kind of, you know, lame, and, you know, I think that a lot of pop country gave it that bad connotation, but there's a lot of good honky-tonk and a lot of good fun music out there like that, but I know people liked, and, you know, so we're doing that more. We're getting that going. I'd like to start a little festival with more country bands, more honky-tonk country bands, you know?
Yeah.
It hasn't happened yet, though, but I think it'll get going. And more and more, and every time I get to with a jam session, get together at a party, there's more and more honky-tonk songs being sung, and more country songs coming out, and people trying to start up a band here and there. So it's definitely vibrant. It's lively. There's a lot of music in Portland. A lot of music.
Okay.
Different genres, too, which is great.
All right, well, how about we get a new song off this new CD?
Yeah. Let's try one called There's a Hole in My Heart. It's one that I wrote. And I have a great song I love singing called Silver Threads and Golden Needles. The line is, it cannot mend this heart of mine. It's an old Wanda Jackson song. And this is kind of sort of a in response to that.
Okay, well, let's do it.
Thank you.
in my heart feels just like some time before. Oh, I thought your needle could mend my wounds then, but they've only opened
back. All right, Caleb, tell me, you got this new CD coming out now. You just got back from a tour from Europe, right?
Yeah, I did. I was a Foghorn String Band. We're touring Scotland and England. Went over to Denmark and over to Holland and Belgium. We're gone for 5 weeks. Had an amazing trip. Just played a few different festivals over there and met some amazing people. I feel like we made a whole bunch of new friends over there. It's interesting playing American music in Europe. There's almost sort of a different reaction.
Now, I talked to a couple artists that's been over there, and they say that the scene over there is a lot better than it is over here. Would you agree or disagree?
I would agree in some ways. I mean, I think as far as a musician going and trying to make a living, you can make more money there because there's more money put towards the arts. Over in a lot of those countries in Europe. So there's gigs you can get that aren't just a standard bar gig, whereas on tour in the States, you end up playing a lot of bar gigs, which I love playing bar gigs, but you don't make as much money. And, you know, after a long 5-week trip, it's hard to come home broke, you know?
Yeah.
Also, I think there's just a lot of interest in what Americans are doing musically, and there has been for years, you know? You know, how many bands from the, you know, British Invasion were listening to American blues bands. So it's still kind of the same thing. They're listening to young old-time bands. They're listening to young, like, country stuff. They're listening to American rock and roll, and still getting influences. So there's a lot of energy when you go over there to hear what you're doing and to see you live, which is really exciting, you know. Makes it fun. I think here in the States, there's just more of us playing our music, so people are less kind of hungry for it, if you will.
Let me ask you this. How many Foghorn String Band fans are there over there in Europe?
That's a good question. You know, I mean, we just went over there. We went to London 7 or 8 years ago and didn't have a good time at all. And we went back just this year. And both of our shows, one of them, which was an unannounced show, was completely packed and sold out. The second one, which was the next night, which was supposed to be the announced show, was really well attended as well. That was in London. And so that was just a total surprise. I had no idea. And people had been hearing about us in the last 6-7 years and came out. So, you know, we go around and we don't necessarily have, like, you know, concerts that are 200 or 300 people. We usually play into 75 to 100 people. But it's really intense and really enthusiastic. So that makes up for numbers, just the enthusiasm, you know. I'll take that any day.
Right.
It makes for a fun evening, you know.
Yep.
So.
Now you got a tour coming up here in the U.S.
I do have a tour, yeah. The Foghorn String Band is doing some stuff this summer, mostly out here in the West. We're going to be out in Montana. That's in July. And then in August, I'm going out with Gale Clotter Country Band to put out this new CD, Western Country. We're going to be going out through Colorado and Wyoming and Montana. That's in August. And then in October, we're driving across the country, across the north of the country, over to the Northeast. We're going to drive down the whole Eastern Seaboard in the month of October and Festival, which is put on by the Red Sea Ramblers down in Lafayette. And if you don't know anything about that, I recommend checking it out. There's a lot of good music down there.
Okay.
Mostly Louisiana music. We've been fortunate enough to get involved in sort of the kickoff parties. And just because we're friends with the Red Sea Ramblers. So basically our whole October we'll be touring down the East Coast.
Right on.
We might make a stop or two as we drive across the country. We're still trying to figure that out. It's going to be real tight.
Well, hopefully you can get my way over here in Ohio.
Well, yeah, if we think we're going to be stopping, it's either going to be somewhere in the Midwest or, you know, Montana. We're probably going to make two stops, so it's very likely we'd be in your neighborhood.
Right on. Now, you know, I interview a lot of artists, and they always ask me, hey, Donnie, is there any venues up by you that I could play?
I was just going to ask you.
And you know what pisses me off is I'll contact all these spots. Hey, I do an internet radio show, and I got artists wanting to know where to do a show. And what pisses me off, these motherfuckers won't get back with me. It's like,
right. What the fuck? Yeah, I wonder if, that's the same case just trying to book shows, period. There's so many places that are saturated. They get so many phone calls.
Yeah.
If you don't stay on and, like, kind of, like, you know, just every day or every 2 days call them, they don't call you back, you know?
Well, I think my biggest downfall is a lot of times I contact these venues on MySpace, so maybe they ain't checking their MySpace. But, you know, I got, like, the Southgate House in Newport, Kentucky, which is close, and Toodles Pumpkin Inn, which is up in Circleville, where a lot of people like to go to, which is pretty close. And, you know, maybe I'll just call these people on the phone. Maybe that'll work.
I think that would be a better way to go. I would say this is a one-on-one contact, and I think that's more. I think that's the way people book in general, is more on the phone.
Right.
They might just give you a little more time a day that way and respond at least. You know.
Yeah. Maybe
that way when an artist asks you, you can say, "Yeah, contact this person."
Yeah. Maybe I'll try that. That'll probably work better than what I'm doing. Just trying to get it through MySpace.
Yeah. Sometimes I find if you look up their contact on their website. Send them an email, you know, with a header to say, look, what you're doing, trying to build some contacts for touring acts that you're interviewing and that you're contacting. They might be really excited because that would help them promote it.
Right.
I don't see any reason why they wouldn't want to do it.
Yeah. All right, now this new CD you got coming out, are you on a label or are you pretty much independent, do it yourself or what?
Yeah, it's independent. I got really fortunate this time around that I have a friend who is able to loan me the money. So she's put up money. She and her husband have put up money. They're sort of trying to start a foundation or a record label. They're not really sure how they're going to do it yet. But they want to be able to support certain artists that they believe in. And I just happen to be one of them. And we've been friends for years now. And so they're using me as an experiment. And they're putting out a record. And the thing that's nice about it is, like the last one I put out, we didn't really release it because I didn't have any methods and money to do that with. And this one, she's trying to help me get it out there a little bit more to different people. So that, you know, might make it easier to get out and go tour if people know who you are. That's the biggest trick, you know. It's getting people to know who you are so when you tour, you can get a gig, you know.
Right.
And then so it's not on a label. It's sort of a private thing. And that's okay. I like it that way.
Now, are you going to sell this one on the, digital, like iTunes and stuff like that?
Yeah, it'll be available on iTunes. One of the best ways I like to sell it is there's a local place here in town called CD Baby. I don't know if you've heard of that, but they're an online distributor.
Okay.
You can get it anywhere in the world. It's called CDBaby.com.
Right.
And that'll be one of the best ways to get it, but it'll be on iTunes. It'll be on all the typical digital outlets. And of course, can always get it on tour, and so that's our main outlets for now. Seems like record stores is harder and harder to get them into record stores.
Right? Yeah, record stores are almost extinct, man. They're on the endangered species list. There's only a couple out there.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty insane. There's a couple great ones here in Portland that have shut down. They've been here forever, but staples of the music scene are gone. It's sad.
Yeah.
They're great meeting places, too. You know, you join there and you see a bunch of your friends in there. Or, you know, it'd be in-store performances from touring acts, you know. Yeah. It's great to go see those, but they don't exist anymore. It's too bad. But I was sort of, I haven't started it up yet officially, but I was sort of starting a record label calling it West Sound Records, just because I grew up on an island, like I said in the beginning, and it's called Orcas Island, and one of the little bays in the island is called West Sound. I like that, especially because we live out here on the West Coast, and there's always a little different sound out here on the West Sound, West, you know, so I thought that was good. So I'm gonna put this out under West Sound Records, but that's just my own record label.
Right.
Which is nothing right now.
Yeah.
Someday it could be something. I'd like to put out other bands, other groups around here. There's some other great songwriters that live in Portland that are some of the people that, you know, when I go out here and sing their songs, you know, I start getting teary-eyed, you know, great songs. People will know how to write. And that's everywhere you go, but I just know some good folks here, so.
Right.
Feel lucky.
All right, well, before we get off here, let me ask you this. Anybody new to the scene that you admire? Like bluegrass or country or what have you?
Yeah, you know, like I said before, the Wilders are an amazing band that I love their songs and their energy about how they play. There's a guy here in Portland, Oregon named Huck Notari. And he's a phenomenal songwriter. He's sort of in that, you know, Towns Van Zandt, maybe John Prine and singer songwriter. He's great. You probably already know of Justin Towns Earl.
Oh, yeah.
But he's a great singer and a great songwriter. And I've hung out a little bit with him and played a few shows with him when he's out on the West Coast. great stuff. Those are a few. Another guy here in Portland named Darren Craig. He's working on a new record right now that I recommend looking for him. Maybe I'll try and when it's finished, I'll try and shoot it out to you.
Okay, hell yeah.
He's got some great songs. He's from Kansas originally. He's living out here a long time. He plays in a bluegrass band, but his original stuff is a little more along the lines of, like, again, maybe John Prine, or like I said, Lucinda Williams sometimes. He's got this kind of gritty feel, but he's got some great songs, so. Nope, singing up these things. So, Darren Craig. Some good local boys.
All right, well, before we end here, how about this? How about you tell me and my listeners if they're interested in purchasing your CD from either your Caleb Clauder or the Foghorn String Band, how could they go about getting some tunes from you?
Well, cdbaby.com is the best way to buy any of the music that I'm involved in. So that's internet sales. And if you can't remember that, you can go to foghornstringband.com and there's links to it. Or go to CalebClowder.com. There's links to that. So that's the, you know, as like anybody does, the internet's a good easy way. You can go down to your local store and you can ask them to order it if your local store is still going, because you can get it through their distributor, their buyer can get it through Burnside Records, which is a local distributor here. They'll have it. There's ways to go about it, for sure.
Okay. All right, well, let's pick the song here to end the interview with, Caleb.
Cool. Let's do another one of mine off my new CD. I call this one Worn Out Shoes. This is a song I wrote a while back. It's, you know, all my songs are, you know, real stories or stuff that's happened to me. And so this is one I've been hanging on to for a while. I finally found the right time to record it, the Worn Out Shoes.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll play this, and I want to thank you for being on my show. I appreciate it. I am a big fan of you, and I think you're good at doing what you do.
Thanks, Donnie. Thanks so much for having me, you know, on the show. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Nice to have some support out there. I really appreciate it, and I'll promote what you got going on, too.
Well, thank you kindly, sir. Here we go.
down there?
Yes, sir.
Well, you're the one I need to talk to. I tell you, my name is R.D. Mercer, and my wife was in there the other day looking at a car, and you tried to help her find one.
Yeah.
And I don't appreciate the way you talked to her.
Well, you talking about Herb?
Herb. You name Herb?
What's she trying to find?
Well, she was down there looking for a car, and you kept showing her and telling her how big your back seat was. It ain't funny, Herb. I guarantee you, it ain't funny. I don't appreciate it at all. I've been married to the woman for 22 years, and she's a church-going woman, and she don't appreciate being talked to that way.
Well, the reason I'm mad is because you got the wrong guy.
Now you Herb, aren't you?
Yeah,
I've
been Herb for about
42
years.
Are you the only Herb that works down there?
Yeah,
fine. You're the only one I need to talk to.
Oh, really?
That's right. You said, kept saying how comfortable the ride is.
Really?
That's right. That's what you said.
What was she looking at?
She was down there looking at a car. She's trying to find one of them terraces down there.
Oh, well, it's got a comfortable ride, you know.
Well, that's what she said, you said.
Well, it does have a comfortable ride.
And then she said you offered to show her your probe. Okay, you just laugh all you can, Mr. Herb, because I'm coming down there today and I'm whooping your ass. I don't let nobody talk to my wife that way. I've been married to that woman 22 years. She won't even let me talk to her that way.
So I insulted your wife, huh?
You damn right you did.
You gotta be kidding.
No, and you're gonna get an ass whooping today.
Oh, man, I can't stand that.
Well, that's right, you're gonna get one. How big old boy are you?
Oh, I'm about 6'3", weigh about 215.
Well, that's what she said. That's just ripe ass whooping size. Go ahead, get it out of your system. Y'all have pretty good insurance down there?
Oh, yeah, I went to the doctor Monday.
Well, workman's comp. Well, by God, you're going to have a little more workman's comp on your hands after I get through with you. You going to be down there all day today?
Yeah.
She said you kept trying to look down her shirt.
Me?
That's right. Kept showing her the tires. Said, get down there and look at them tires. And you're just looking down her shirt.
Maybe somebody used my name.
I don't think so.
Yeah, they probably used my name.
No, she said it was Herb down there.
Well, that shit don't sound like me doing.
You ever have your ass whooped before?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, I guarantee you can make them sexual in your innards with women that you don't know, and you're going to get an ass whooping.
Hey, what the woman?
Are you a married man?
Yes, I am.
Would you like me to talk to your wife that way?
Oh, she'd probably whoop you before I could.
Well, then, that's what my wife should have done when she was down there.
Yeah.
If she'd had that little mace on her key ring, she'd have stuck it right in your face.
Hey, is your wife pretty good looking?
Well, ain't none of your damn business. You down there, you saw her. What do you think?
I don't remember seeing her. I think I don't know what she looked like.
Well, you make a practice of talking naughty to women down there?
No, I don't generally talk naughty to her.
Well, you need an ass whooping.
Well, don't come down and whoop my ass.
Well, I guarantee you, sound like you somebody ought to whooped it a long time ago. Down there making rude comments to them women, showing them your probe.
What is that?
Beg your pardon?
I didn't show her a probe.
That's what she said. She got out there. She wanted to look at them terraces, and you wanted to show her your probe.
She wanted to look at terraces. I wanted to show her my probe.
That's what she said. Well, it ain't funny, I guarantee you.
That don't sound like me.
Well, that's what she said. Your name is Herb.
That's right, Herb.
That's right. Well,
you think somebody could have used my name?
I don't know. You better find out, because I'm coming looking up you, looking up Herb, and whooping his ass.
Well, wait a minute. Before you walk up and punch me, will you let me know who you are first?
That's R.D. Mercer. I'm a little wiry, fella. I've been wearing overalls and a John Deere cap.
Overalls and a John Deere cap?
That's right, and I'll be down there today. That's right.
And your name is R.D. Mercer?
Roy Dam Mercer.
R.D. Mercer.
That's right. You going to be there all day long?
I'll be here all day.
All right. Well, get yourself ready for a big-time ass whooping.
Get myself ready for an ass whooping.
Well, you'll be there about 3 o'clock.
About 3 o'clock?
Yeah, because that'd be right after my nap.
Okay.
Might come down there and whoop your ass. I guarantee you, you don't talk to my wife that way. I ain't going to let nobody talk to her that way.
Well, why do you want to whoop my ass?
Well, because you talk dirty to my wife, goddamn. That's what I told you.
I didn't talk dirty to your wife.
Well, you done it. That's what she said. Now you're calling her a liar.
No, I ain't calling your wife a liar.
Well, she said you down there and you talk dirty to her.
How old is your wife?
What?
How old is your wife?
She's old enough to know when somebody's talking dirty to her.
She's old enough to know when somebody's talking dirty to her.
That's right. We don't even take them movie channels, because that's the kind of language upsets her. She's a Sunday school teacher.
Well, how about if you send her back down, I'll try to be nice.
I ain't sending nobody back down there but myself, and I'm coming with a 55-gallon drum ass whoop, and I'm pouring it on you. Well, it ain't funny.
He said he's coming down here with a 55-gallon drum of ass whip.
found Joe in these honky-tonks. Until today when I went home and found her gone. And my world came crashing down. Lord, what a nerve shaking sound. So bring me a bottle and play me some more sad, sad songs. But all I've loved is gone. Now I'm soaking up my mind and hurting deep to my bones. So here I am like all the rest, thinking of her and hoping the best. So fill it up again, go and play me some more George Jones songs. So here I am, thinking of her and hoping the best. So fill it up again, Joe, and play me some more short shown song.
I'm in teeth, and I came out here all the way from Philadelphia single-handed to fight oral ignorance.
Like a son of a bitch, I'm alone with my gun, and I know no way but the highway. Well, has my soul been torn, or am I sleeping? On a bed full of flames, you've abandoned the sun, and you plan on showing you our way. Hey-oh, 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 hey-oh.
have always been out to get me.
Well, if I was out to get you, I'd have you pickling in a mason jar on my shelf by now.
God damn it. I sure hope you folks enjoyed the interview with Caleb Clowder. He is a very talented artist, and you need to get his music in your collection. You will not be sorry. I promise. Alright, we start off this set with some Jimmy Martin with Play Me Some George Jones Songs. We followed that with Sasquatch and the Sickabillies with Bed Full of Flames. Now, speaking of Bed Full of Flames, one night when me and my wife first got married, I was flirting with some gal at the bar we was at, and when we got home, she set my bed on fire while I was sleeping in it. Now, talk about fucking scary. And pretty much the apartment burnt down, and she did 9 months in a women's correctional facility, and I love a woman with a criminal record. What can I say? Following that song was Mike Penny and his Moonshiners, which is all the way from fucking Germany. And the song was I'm Sorry I Ever Met You. Now let me tell you this. When that bed was burning, I was sorry I ever met her. Jiminy Christmas. And as I told you folks before, beginning of the show, I spent the 4th of July weekend down in Tennessee. And I did something that'd make a lot of you white trash motherfuckers real proud. Not that I went to Dollywood, because I did, but what I did when I got there. And it was going to cost well over $200 for me, my wife, and my two girls to get in. So what I did was, I told him my 12-year-old daughter was 11, which that saved us $10 on admission. And then I carried my 6-year-old in like she was a little kid and said she was 3. And that saved me $45 right there, so altogether I saved $55. What can I say? I will run a good scam if I have to, especially to save me some motherfucking money. Yes, Lord, here's your last set, my good, kind-hearted Christian folks. Put them snakes down.
Ooh.
dissipated, a flouted, a Venus of your dreams. She'll break your heart in a second. Turn around to celebrate the richness of the nightlife. She's poison shot to your face. Stepping out on the scene, smiling, she's for everyone. Burning heart and flesh machine. Her kind of looks like diamonds and teardrops in your brain. She lay the world at your feet, then throw it all away. And come
upstairs kept me awake till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, really? I didn't think you could hear it over your snoring.
Just depends on when.
lose teeth talking like that. If you want to hang around, you'll be polite.
When I saw you for the very first time, a hunchback, a unibrow with a lazy eye. It's gonna take two bottles, tell me before I'm gonna drink till you ain't ugly anymore. I'm gonna drink till you ain't ugly anymore. Untied you from the hitching post outside. You fit right in with the others by your side. Just line them up, my morals hit the floor. I'm gonna drink till you ain't ugly anymore. I'm gonna drink till you ain't ugly anymore. Jack Daniels, he's got a remedy. It's gonna take four bottles and maybe four more. I'm gonna drink till you ain't ugly anymore. I'm gonna drink till you ain't ugly anymore. I'm gonna drink till you ain't ugly anymore.
Woo-wee! I think I had this much fun since I was 13, and I was the guest of honor at this convention my granddad took me to. It was called NAMBLA. He was a chartered member, and I was the honorary guest that night. I tell you what, after that night, every time I cut a fart, I've shit my pants. Alright, anyways, we start off the set with Hank Ray with Saturday Satan. We followed that with the Mother Truckers and a song called Dynamite, which is what I call my dick, because it packs a lot of punch. Short fuse with a lot of bang, ladies, you hear that? And we ended the set with Bourbon Crow with Drink Till You Ain't Ugly. And Lord knows I've done that many times. And I tell you what, my wife does that about every night. Huh. Isn't that fucking peculiar? Well, that's going to be it for my show. And next week, we're going to have Josephus on there. So, tune in, bitches. We are going to end the show tonight with some Trampled by Turtles with the song off their new album, Palomino. And this song is called Bloodshot Eyes. So, until next week, motherfuckers, woo, yes.
Just a big gaping hole. And I tried every bottle, every pill that I know. But time, baby, time works better.
thought it might help. I wrote some songs, but they were shitty as hell. Only works when I'm broken. 4 inches from dying. And at my best.
If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99. Plus, the world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, when you enter the code POD149 when you check out, you'll save an additional 10% off your web hosting order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply. See site for details.